And the currency to the kingdom of God is relationship. Come on, somebody. Jeremiah, turn down number three. Number three, turn it down. Hallelujah. Oh, he's good and he's worthy to be praised. Isn't he? Any good? I know you've been feeling him for a good minute. I walked in, and when I walked in on this aisle right between you and you, Sylvia, was an angel, and his wings were the span of that. There is something that has taken place already in your life that has already been moving in perpetual motion, but there had been a hindrance that was there. And God says that I have sent my angel to war on your behalf, and I'm moving some things, for the wind is now blowing on your behalf. Some things that were once standing as opposition is now coming down for it to be a stepping stone for where he wants to take you. I bless you, beloved. God bless you. Hallelujah. When God is in the house, he is foremost of everything that we have come to experience is his presence. Amen. Before we get started, I want you to touch your neighbor and say, the glory is in the house. Because I'm looking at glory. Come on now. Like you mean it. Don't look at him and say, I'm looking at glory, and then turn your lip up. Tell him you're looking at glory. Come on now. Come on. Mean it now. I'm looking at glory. That's it. Come on now. That's it, Celia. That's it. Woo-wee! Amen. Amen. You hear? You hear? Amen. Hallelujah. I love you too. Amen. Woo-wee. See, when glory is in the house, it doesn't matter about what kind of things I have planned. It's what God has planned. All I'm supposed to do is to show myself approved before God and man. So I make ready and stay ready, but it's up to God what he wants to do. If he's head of the church, then we got to ask permission. What do we do next? Amen? When I walked in and I saw the angel, I said, oh, Lord, you're up to something in here today. I said, God, I don't want to miss what you have. So I want to get right into what I believe that the Lord has in store for us. So I want you to get your Bibles right away, please, as we get started. If we're recording, I welcome those on the podcast in the House of Manna. Bear with us as we begin to learn our new mixer and our podcasting recording, but I will get it down. I will get it down. Just, hey, I'm just saying, there's a learning curve. Learning curve. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2 at verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and when you got to say amen and shout it real loud. Okay, I'll wait for a couple more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're so worthy, you're so worthy, you're so worthy. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Hello. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with the flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. Verse 23, then the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Woo. Got lost in that for a minute. I saw my woman right here in the front of the street. I said, Lord, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman. For she was taken out of man. That is why man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Say it with me. They felt no shame. If you would go down to the next chapter, chapter 3 should be the next line there. If we go to verse 1, it says this. Now the serpent was more craftier than all of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say? Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I thank you that it is the very substance for our growth. It is the very substance for our soul. And Father, I thank you that our hearts have been opened, made pliable to receive your word. And I thank you, Lord, that the harvest is already here. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I want to begin ministering this word to you that we call it detoured by destiny. Detoured by destiny. Yesterday, I spent some time with some family members. We did a funeral for one of our beloved members here in the church that had been coming for a month, and I didn't know what the Lord was going to have me to speak on. But how many of you know that God knows everything that's going on in your life? Maybe I'm talking about God. Okay, he knows everything. So he puts things together and in motion for you so that you can fulfill what he's called to be your part of your destiny. With this precious individual, Kylie, when she was serving here in this house, she was coming and she was receiving what the word of the Lord is, and she was receiving it in her soul. It's something when you can see an individual come to church, but it's another thing when you see them changed. Oh, come on. Too many times we have people come to church and they leave the same way. Come unbound, they leave bound. But when they come in and they determine in their mind that I want what you have to say, I believe in what you're preaching, and I believe in the God that you're saying, and then you see change. I saw change in this individual. I saw hope. I saw peace. And I saw determination. And so when it was time for her to go and be with the Lord unexpectedly, it was very troublesome to me. Because the last time I saw this individual, the Lord spoke directly to her concerning her destiny. I said, Lord, this don't make no sense. He says, you think your destiny is one thing, but when you detour from what I have told you to do, sometimes other people take things into their own hands based upon your destiny. We were at this funeral, and I did the actual service for them. And I've only met Kylie a few times, but what I saw of her by the Spirit, the Lord had me describe her on how she is as a member of the family and how she is as an individual. My wife asked me, she said, how did you know all that? I said, I didn't. The Lord kept showing me. But it was something to see how the family members then came up and began to give their testimony about how she was, and her interactions were the same thing that I had said. So I know that God says that I will put you in places that you need to be in, that is part of your destiny. But But we have to be careful because some things are there to detour you from your destiny. I ask, Lord, do I continue to speak on destiny, a voice is calling in the wilderness for your destiny to get you to where you need to be? And I really felt very strong, felt a lot of peace about this, to continue on about destiny, because we all fall into these categories that I'm about to share with you. In this particular story here in the Bible, in Genesis, at the very beginning, God has instituted for man to do a certain thing in the kingdom, and he gave him a job to do. He gave him that job to do. That's when the enemy now steps in. And when the enemy stepped in and began to ask a question to the woman, which was also man, because they became one flesh. Now, then we have to understand something. When I see Joshua, I see Colleen. When I see Colleen, I see Joshua. Are you understanding this? So we're one. So don't let the enemy say, well, one is lesser than the other. We're one. If you see me, you see my wife. When you see my wife, you see me. She's prettier than me, but I'm just saying. Okay. We just make sure. Okay. Now listen. When something is being established by God for your destiny, the enemy is about to show up. When he gives you purpose and he gives you instructions, something's about to happen. And it wasn't until after he had named all the animals, which gave a name to the serpent. Hear this. Prior to what was going on, the serpent had no name. It wasn't after until he gave the name to the serpent, you are a serpent, that now came the challenge. You can identify with every challenge that comes into your life because it has a name. Every deception that comes in has a name. Everything that tries to detour you from the things in your life has a name. You may have been the one that spoke it into existence. Adam spoke, this is a serpent. God says, yes, whatever you call it, it is. What you name in your life sometimes is the very thing that is coming to oppose your destiny. Who has come into your life that began to challenge you, to get you off track? Who has come into your life to stop you from doing what God has told you to do? The only one that can stop you from getting to your destiny is you. Now, there will be some influences. See, the serpent didn't come and say, here, eat this. He just persuaded. What happens when your destiny is being challenged? You begin to doubt yourself. You listen to distractions. And not only do you doubt yourself, you begin to doubt God. Here's what he said. Did God really say? Did God really say that your destiny was what you saw? Did God really say that you were going to do what he showed you in a vision, showed you in a dream? Or maybe you heard it through the Lord speaking to you directly, and you heard the Lord say, this is what you're going to become. Have you ever had doubt come in and begin to challenge you? Did God really say? Was it God that spoke? Challenging you so that you're not fruitful. Because destiny will have its challenges, and detours will come in. Now go with me to Genesis 37, please. Genesis 37. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today. Genesis 37 and verse 5 through 11, and then we're also going to go to verses 17 through 20. So when you're at Genesis 37 and verse 5, shout amen. I want you to see this in verse 5 of chapter 37 of Genesis. It says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We are binding sheaves of grain in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen. There's where you don't mess up. Listen. What if he would have kept it to himself? What if he didn't share it with anybody? See, not everybody's going to celebrate what God has given you. And especially if it concerns you ruling over them. Hold up now. See, Joseph was the youngest. He was the youngest of Israel's, his old age. He had Joseph. So he found favor in Joseph and gave him a coat of many colors. That's one thing when daddy says, ooh, this is my boy, and I was old. I shouldn't have been having this baby, but I had this baby. That's my baby boy. That's the last one. I'm going to make a coat. See, sometimes everybody says, well, the coat of many colors is about the favor of the Lord that's on your side. But it's also a bullseye, like a target. How many of you have been walking in favor and all of a sudden people just start coming against you? You start walking in destiny and it's like that bullseye just got bigger. I thought that when I'm walking in destiny that the bullseye got smaller so the enemy couldn't find me. But I start walking in destiny, it's like that bullseye just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, for the enemy can shoot an arrow from the furthest distance he wants and still hit a bullseye because there's a mark on you. So daddy said, oh, look at my son. Oh, I love my son. I love my son. I know I have other sons, but this is the one that I had in my old age. That should bless someone right there, because you may think that you're getting a little bit too old. I ain't talking about having the babies, but I'm just to birth something. I don't want them to, you know, go out there, Kelly, and start saying, oh, well, the pastor said I wasn't too old, so come on now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking. See, there's some things that God will give you that you've been carrying for a long time and that you've carried it through all kinds of obstacles, all kinds of things coming against you. But when it's finally birthed, what you want to do is cover it. You want to cover it to protect it. So Joseph had a coat that covered him, but it became the very thing that made everybody around him even hate him the more. But then all of a sudden, this little boy began to grow up and start having dreams. You are right until you start having dreams. You are right until you start getting vision. You moving okay until you start getting direction. You doing something when all of a sudden now God wants to speak to you while you sleep. And you wake up to go tell daddy. Even daddy says, hold up now, I ain't going to bow down to you. Remember, you my son, I gave you that coat. What do you mean I'm going to bow down? See, my Bible reads a little bit different. From the streets of Guadalupe Street here in San Antonio, Texas. And it reads a little bit like this. Son, you look, I brought you into this world. I'll take you right on. I don't care. Man. Look, you think you all that in a bag of chips? Look, we ain't having this. We ain't having this. I will shank you. Come in here talking like you. I'm going to bow down to you. You're out of order. Now, how many times have you been doing something, things of God, and it's your time for promotion? But the daddy that's over your life don't want to see you get further. The daddy thinks because of the age and the tenure, you have to stay little. But in reality, because the last shall be first. So Joseph was getting ready to step into some destiny. Watch this. He had another dream, the second dream, and he tells it to his brothers, and he says this to them. The second dream, watch this. I had another dream, and at this time, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. That's one thing. Well, first, it's the wheat that has a tendency to bow. But when you start talking about a whole different atmosphere, a whole different level, now you're talking about way above and beyond that they could even imagine that was about to happen. But isn't it something that they identified themselves as the stars? Hello, somebody. Am I preaching in the house of God? How is it that the brothers can identify with them as a star, but they couldn't identify with the fact that they were going to have to bow down to that one? So they will always see themselves in a place that is always high, but never low. See, wheat, when it grows, the kernel, the head, is weighty, so it naturally bows. humility. So when he says this about the sheaves came bound. Oh, hear me. There are some things in your life that will have progression of jealousy towards you. The first progression of jealousy is because they've first been cut off. Secondarily, is they've been bound together in agreement. And they don't want to bow because they're holding each other up. It is not until the sheaves are actually pushed over by the wind. See, it's one thing. Come here. Come here, Joseph Clark. Come on, Clark. Watch this. It's one thing. Come here, Jonathan. Let me show you this real quick. One up here. Yeah. Watch this. This is what I want to show you. When you're an individual standing by yourself, it's easy to be humbled by the Lord. But when you gather with others and are bound together, you're not easily going to submit and bow and surrender. What happens is these stalks of wheat get bound together standing up, and they're standing erect. And it isn't until the wind comes or something comes to knock them down. It's one thing going through the process, growing to be fruitful and to produce of what's already inside of you. But it's another to get around other folks that are going through the same thing. And then you stand there waiting to go through the other process is the beating process. To beat out that thing that doesn't want to make you to bow and humble yourself. See, when God brings people together, it should be that their hearts are knitted together, their spirit is knitted together, that the main thing that they're looking for is, I have you in prayer, but more importantly, we have got to learn to bow before the Lord. And not come in all this kind of jealousy and bitterness. So together, grab hold of each other together. Okay, y'all have the deodorant on. It's okay. Now, watch this. Where one could have been easily pushed, now together, it's harder to push. Oh, hear me. Sometimes when you come in agreement with somebody that learns how to lean on one another, all the kind of adversity that comes your way, you'll be able to stand together. If you look past their differences, look past all the jealousy, you're able to stand together as a family, and you can go through the process together. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Brother. Come on. That's real good. I like that. All right, look. Now. So now Joseph tells the brothers, but I saw the moon, the sun, and then he tells them the stars. 11 stars were bowing down to me. Verse 10, when he told his father as well, watch this. His father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. Watch this. It's one thing when you begin to hear that, okay, you had the first dream. I'll give you that one. That was a pizza and hot dog kind of night. You had some Mountain Dew before you went to bed. And when you had that dream, maybe it was a little off. But this one is a little bit different because I think there's something to do with what God wants to do in your life. So I'm going to keep that in my mind, but I'm going to watch. Now, if you begin to watch what transpires in this particular story, the brothers are out there, they're tending the sheep, and then Joseph is getting all excited, and then the dad says, you know, go find out what your brothers are up to. Go see what they're doing. Watch what it says here. Go to verse 17. Verse 17 says, they had moved on from there, the man answered. He heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Have you ever been walking towards your destiny, and before you even get to where you're supposed to be going, where you've been sent by the Father? This is an apostolic message where the Father sends the Son. When you're going someplace, the very ones that you're going sent to are the ones that plot against you to kill you. Isn't that something? Understand? And what is taking place? The very thing that identified favor on him is a thing that was sent back to the one that gave it to him and said, look, their blood has been shed. And the one that you love the most and the one that you were the one taking care of the most is now dead. Isn't that something? That is something when you're going through things in your life that the one that sent you apostolically as a father that has sent you into a thing, the ones that were sent to receive this blessing is now the one that is receiving the bad news that they killed the very destiny of the individual. But Joseph didn't stay in that pit. We all know the story, right? We all seen the little cartoon or the movies and Joseph. Okay, he got out the pit, sold into slavery. It's one thing, should I be in the pit? Should I die in my pit? Or is this my little pity party that I'm going to go through because I'm in my pit and I'm just going to get so tired, so mad, that my own brothers threw me in the pit? Many of you would really continue on if your own brothers and sisters in your church right now were to throw you in the pit. Oh, we'd be so offended, we wouldn't even continue with God. Oh, the church hurt me, so I'm not going to church no more. Church didn't hurt you. A person hurt you. And what was behind that person was a spirit called jealousy, bitterness, rejection, anger. That's what hurt an individual. You know, there's more people hurt in churches today than there is those that are out in the world, because when a spirit is crushed, hope is deferred. It's one thing when you're out in the world and someone hurts you, I guarantee you, you go real quick to lay hands. Mm-hmm. Or the words that you have coming out your mouth, they're not the blessings, they're the curses. It's different. Out in the world, we know how to respond that will keep us at a distance from what is hurting us. But Joseph began to follow his destiny, and some of his detours took him into places that nobody really wants to go, but it was part of his destiny to go through it. Destiny has detours. Turn with me to Matthew 3. Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. When you're there, say amen. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I want to begin to share with you what John the Baptist was doing. He was preparing the way in the wilderness. He was a voice, a sound in the wilderness, preparing the way for Jesus Christ. You understand this? Jesus was coming from Galilee. He was on the other side of the Jordan. The Jordan represents transition. And because it is transition, there's destiny that is calling you to come. There is always a voice on the other side of your transition that is called destiny, calling you to come forward. And when you get there, even the one that was there to prepare the way for you will have a tendency to try to deter you. Sometimes the very one that is supposed to be used to get you launched into your destiny is the one that sometimes wants to deter you from getting it done. Have you ever been in a place in your life where the one that you know is there to help you get through what you're going through has a tendency not to want to follow through? Because there's some people in your life that God has placed in your life to help you get to from point A to point B, but they're not being obedient. They're not being obedient. They want to deter you from going to your next place of transition. But I know by the very Spirit of God, in the wilderness, there is a voice that is calling. There is a voice that is calling for you, saying you may be in something right now, but I'm going to get you through transition. And when that transition comes, you're going to come up out of what you've been in. You're going to come up, and I'm going to speak from above to let you know who you are. I'm going to declare unto you your identity, that all are about to hear and see that you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And at that very moment, it says in the Bible that the spirit that came upon him drove him into another wilderness to be what? Tempted of the enemy. Tempted. Your destiny is not going to come easy. Your destiny will be discovered along your journey. Your destiny is something that as long as you keep pursuing after it, things will be revealed, things may be concealed, but you are about to see God tell you who you are. It's one thing just for us to go through and meander through our Christian walk and think that everything is still okay, but if we're not going through the test, we're not growing. If we're not being challenged, we're not being expounded. We're not expanding. We're not being to the point that we're stretched too much that we think we're about to burst. So we really don't know what is inside of us is our potential until we're taken to that point. How many of you have, I'm not a runner. I can't use the analogy of track or anything. Why are you laughing, Ramey? I used to run. Used to good. How many of you have worked out before? You know, I mean, really work out. You know, okay. You really worked out. I don't mean the fork and the knife kind of workout. I mean the real workout. Okay. When you push yourself to that limit and you think that's it and you quit, you've just stopped yourself from growth. But if you go beyond and push beyond that burn, you have now stepped into a whole different realm of growth. But it's also caused by tearing. It tears the muscle fibers. And when it begins to tear the muscle fibers, there's where the growth process begins. There's some things in your destiny that's going to cause some tears in your faith that will cause you to grow. It will be painful. It doesn't come easy, but you got to press through it. Or are you going to be like some people that just quit because it's too hard? I've seen some people sitting in this sanctuary go through some things. I said, Lord, your grace, my God, is so sufficient. Your grace is definitely evident in this individual's life. They would have quit, but they didn't. Have you ever been through something like that? Sure, I'm done. I'm quitting. I said, I quit. How are you going to quit, God? You thought I was going to quit, God. I'm just going to quit, God. Oh, he'll let you know that he's God. Something's going to come your way that you're going to start crying out to God real quick. And that whole kind of prayer life is about to change. You know the prayer life. Oh, Lord, bless sister so-and-so because she walk in the house of God and she got a short mini skirt on. Bless sister so-and-so. Let her see that she is wrong by doing so. She a Jezebel. You ain't really praying. You're judging. Let you go through something. Then the prayer, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but it's got to be you got to get me through. I surrender my life to you. Your whole prayer life changes. Because he stretches you, he changes you into being who he called you to be. Part of your destiny is wrapped up in your distress. Joseph cried out. He cried out from the pit. It ain't written. I don't think he had very good words to say, but that ain't written that he was in the pit, what he said in the pit. But he was thrown in there by his own brothers. If that was to happen to you, God forbid your pastor put you in a situation that you don't like, we won't see you next week. Your pastor offended me. He said something about my family. How many times people get hurt? And really, what really hurt them was truth. Truth. No Nobody likes truth. Nobody likes truth. Oh, no, I take correction very well, Pastor. I like truth. I like truth. Let me touch that nerve. That open wound that you've had a Band-Aid on for a long time. You really going to say, Pastor, wait, hold up now. I didn't give you permission to get in my life like that. You have no business talking about my marriage. You don't know anything about my marriage. You don't know anything about the way I raise my children. You got no business talking to me about anything like that. Am I your pastor or am I your entertainer? Which one is it? Because if I'm your entertainer, all you got to do is shut that knob off, turn that off, and get out of here. But if I'm your pastor, my pastor ability and the one anointing that God gives a pastor is to anoint the hell out of you by annoying you so much. You're like, I don't like the way you preach. If God sent you here, then he's going to restore you to your destiny. If he says something about truth to you, you're going to experience a stretch. We are looking for someone to come and patty cake with us. Play patty cake in church. We ain't playing patty cake. The devil's wrecking your life, wrecking your marriage, and wrecking your children. You think he wants to play patty cake with you? No. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. We need a voice that says, you can get through this thing. You can come all the way through. But you can't play patty cake with the devil. Tell that devil to get up on out of here. You don't belong in my house. You don't belong in my marriage. You don't belong in my children. You definitely don't belong in my finances. Oh, the church don't come alive now. Hallelujah. My spiritual daughter, you see our resemblance? Spiritual daughter. You know when you're around a father, when a father can speak to you and tell you the truth, and you accept it with a grain of salt. The Bible says that we must be the salt of the earth. Put salt on an open wound. Guess what will happen? Ow. I can't say amen, but ow. It hurts. And when you're out of order, I tell you, get back in line. Quit acting so silly. Quit acting like everything's got to be the way you want it to be. And I want to have milk all the time. It's time for, oh, Lord Jesus. It's time for you to get off of the booby and get into some real meat. Because if you stay on the booby too long, you're going to get cavities. But every now and then, you got to put your teeth to use and start chewing on some meat. Lord, I lost some folks already. Talking about boobies in church. I'm out of here. I knew something was wrong. When we are family, stuff started happening. I saw that where they were like, hey. Look. I got to let down your guards. Bring down those walls that you put up. That you call, they're spiritual walls. They're the walls so that I guard my oil. Your oil's so stale, you don't even want God to get in there and tell you, empty that old stuff so I can put something new in there. Oh. Lord Jesus, I knew it'd be something when I'd have two sweat rags up here. One because the fear of preaching it, and the other one said, I preach it anyhow. There's some things that we've got to let the Holy Spirit show us that the reason why your destiny's been detoured and deterred from you to get there is because you don't want truth to be spoken. Oh, but this hurts too much, Pastor. You gonna let it hurt another 25 years? If you got something broke and it's a bone in your body and you let that thing partially heal, it's still broke. It's out of alignment. It's still fractured. It's not whole. But God put in our bodies that anything that is broken, he can mend. Hey, karabosi kabasa. Some of y'all on the podcast, like, what the amen about? Like, broken stuff. What are you talking about? Someone over here, raising up their broken arm in a cast. The only reason, watch this, the only reason why you wear a cast is because it's got to put back in its original form and position for it to heal without any other movement. Oh, y'all don't miss that one. Yeah, let's come on, let's go. I'm about to go into my second towel, so let's just, come on, come on, Caleb, let's just come on, Caleb. Look. When you got something broke in your life, sometimes what happens is they've got to pull on the broken part to set it back in place. Even your brokenness has to be pulled and stretched in order for the healing to heal correctly. Are you hearing what the Lord is saying? We come in broken, but we leave broken because we don't want God to heal us. Because we want half-truth. We want you to give me, oh, Pastor, what about that prophecy you gave me about getting a house? Did you get a job? Did you fix your credit? Oh, no, you're still late on your phone bill, because why? Oh, you had to go to Red Lobster. Oh, okay. And then you want to blame God because you didn't get your house because your credit score didn't change? Maybe we got to renew our mind. That ain't a spirit. That's a renewing of your mind so you can begin to look at how you're going to save money, how you're going to clean your credit up by doing things differently than you have been. You understand? That's all. I'm putting this on God. God said I was going to get this. God said I was going to get this car. I was going to get this truck. I was going to get this house. But nothing happened. Well, go back and reevaluate your steps. Is something broken out of alignment? Is something out of place? Then let God get in there and put you in some restrictive mode so that you can't continue what you've been doing, the same thing over and over, and making it a learned behavior. Amen? Turn them down just a bit, just a bit. Brokenness. Watch this. The brokenness that happens in our life is to help us to be set. To be set. If we come into the house of God and we're broken, because he's getting ready to set us on course. You understand that? He's going to set us on course. Some of our brokenness comes because some of the people that we're carrying in prayer and what we're carrying through don't want to get straight. Oh, hear me. They don't want to get straight. And the more and more you keep going before the Lord, he says, I've already heard it the first time he prayed it, but there's something hindering them from getting into position and into right alignment. So let me work on them. Release them to me. Give me your Isaac on the altar. I'll take care of the rest. Oh, Lord. Are you hearing what the Lord is saying? We have got to allow through our destiny, even though we come in broken, we can't leave the same way. Maybe your circumstance hasn't changed. Maybe everything you've been thinking about is still the same. But you've got to receive the word and let it begin to do the work in you. It don't happen overnight. There are some supernatural miracles that can take place. But when it doesn't take place, God didn't stop. He's still going to do it. Jesus healed the blind man by spitting in his eyes. What do you see? I've seen men walking like trees. Why do you know they're trees? Have you been blind since birth? What do you know about trees? So, hold on, let's get you back to creation. Let me just reach down into this dirt here a little bit and make it into a little mud ball. Let me just put it right into your eyes because you got no eyeballs anyways. It's a process. And when he reached down on the earth, he reached down to the very creation at the very beginning. He says, I'm going to take you back to the very beginning because what I created in the beginning was perfect. But something along the way has broken you. Let me go back to the beginning, fix you, mold you, put it right back in. And now you're going to see what you couldn't see before. Now you have clarity when you couldn't see straight. God has taken us back to our beginnings so that we can deal with some things. You ever wonder why the Israelites never made it over? It had nothing to do with their ability. It had everything to do with their heart. Their heart. If your heart really wants to change, All you got to do is say yes. Yes. Now, when he begins to make the change, that's when you start saying, ow. Oh, it hurts, Lord. Yeah, but it's good for you. Pregnancy does not come easy. When you're being stretched and you begin to feel all these pains, there's something on the inside of you that is painfully growing and it's coming into maturity, but you got to carry that thing. It'll distort you. It'll make you look a little bit different. You used to be able to walk when you at least had your thighs touching. Now you waddle around. You can't touch anything on the inside, but you're being stretched so that you can give birth and get you into position so that you can release what God has given you. Things are about to look funny, look different, be painful, but you're about to give birth to something you'll be carrying. That's part of your destiny. It hurts. When it's a spiritual birth, my God, I feel the anointing. Come here, Jonathan. Come here, Jonathan. Come here, Jonathan. Jonathan. Oh, oh. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, all right, I got loosed. If it's a spiritual birth that you're about to experience, guess what is going to attack you? It's going to be something on the outside that challenges your faith, challenges what you believe in and what you heard. Are you going to quit? But if it was a baby inside of you, for real now you were carrying, you can't quit when you're waddling like this. You got to go through the full term to give birth. And, oh, Lord, we're going to play, man. It's one thing when people can look at you in the front and see you're pregnant. It's another thing the way you're walking from behind, they can say, you got something inside of you. I don't see your belly, but what you are struggling to carry, I can see that something's got you weighed down. Something inside of you has life in it. Something about destiny says you can't quit. You're walking different. You're looking different. But from behind, you're not where you used to be. You're not the same person you used to be. You're going somewhere. Something inside of you is driving you there. You can't quit. How are you going to quit when the baby hasn't come full term? My God, destiny's inside of you. Things that come against you will change the direction in your walk, but it does not make you abort what you're carrying. My God, you hold on, and when you carry that thing, every dream, man of God, right there in the striped shirts, right next to you, Galen. Every dream that you dreamed, everything that you have seen, didn't come because of late night dinner. It came because you are called and destined for greatness. You see things outside the box, outside of the norm. You see things differently because it's not what you want to do. It is the same old cookie cutter system. You always see things differently. God has given you the ability to make change. He's given you the ability to succeed. He says, I've given you power to obtain wealth. Well, I'm okay, I'm happy. No, you're not. You've got so many dreams. Matter of fact, you picked the color and make and model that you wanted already. I venture to say you even have a picture of it. There's some things that God wants to get to you that's already inside of you that's going to come through you to become manifest. That's called destiny. Destiny. Beloved, who are you? Yours? Okay. Okay. She said, that's mine. She said, that's mine. They're mines. Okay. Baby right here, blue shirt. Mines. Mama's mines. Your faith that is inside of you has looked at many mountains, but it didn't detour you. It made you begin to plant yourself. Watch this. It's about to hit you. Get ready. Because you are a baby carrier, for the spiritual realm. And as you continue to stand in that thing, you're beginning to position yourself for what the Lord has given you concerning Him, concerning your mama, concerning the things that God said I would do through you. You position yourself because you are like a midwife to many. You help many. You help them through the hard times. You give ear and your heart to those that are in need. My God. Your heart is pure. Your heart is always looking to help people. You hear all the heartaches, relationship issues that come to you like, oh, here we go again. Here comes another one. Sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, whatever. They always come to you. Why? Because you have the counsel inside of you on how to counsel them to bring them home. You know how to carry things to fulfillment full term. I bless you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. There's a book inside of you that you've been writing but don't know how to finish this thing. But it's coming forth and God's going to put it together for you. Not only is He going to put the publisher together for you, He's going to give you a copyright that you won't have to pay for, but someone's going to do it. I see lines of books inside of you that are going to come forth. God has blessed you with insight, beloved. Feet are pointed out. Oh, I can't even look to turn around because it's so painful. I'm carrying something that I can't be deterred from it. I'm carrying it. And if someone wants to come and push, I will have my support system hold me up. Come on, Johnny. Come on, Johnny. Well, hold me up. Come on, mama. Come on. No. Joseph. Come on, Joseph. Hold me up. Hold on. Come on, Joseph. Come on, Joseph. I'm getting ready to get burned. And I need someone to support me because I can't hold up anymore. I can't do this anymore. But I got to get in a position because destiny, I've been carrying for a long time. I can't be detoured. I need someone to help me push. I got to push. It don't matter. I'm pushing this thing all the way through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. It don't matter. Sometimes it feels like you're going to do it alone. But you walk through. Say, I might be broken, but form me and put me into a cast so I don't move out of my position. Even when I said I can't, I know because you have set me, I will hold firm. I will stand fast. And when all I can do is just stand, I will stand anyhow. My God, the anointing of the very presence and His glory has filled the temple. What you are in need of right now is here for you. Watch this. My God, King Solomon was to rebuild the temple. Watch this. The Bible says that the Lord told him, spoke to him the first time, says, you will rebuild. Then gives them specific instructions on how to build it. After it's built, this is what Solomon called for. Bring me the Ark of the Covenant. Bring me the elders and the priests, my God. And they brought the cart back into the temple. And the moment they laid the cart, the Ark of the Covenant, in its place, the Bible says that the wings of the angel covered it. Oh, my. I started with the angel. It moved to cover the Ark of the Presence. What was that signifying? Is the glory of the latter house is greater than the former house. But the angels will cover the promise and His presence when it gets into position. Because it was out of position, but it was brought back into its rightful place. Then God said to Solomon, in this house, shall I establish my glory and my presence forever. My God. He ain't talking about this gymnasium. He's not talking about this whole Ephesus here. He's talking about you. Inside of you is glory. Inside of you is His presence. The reason why you go through so much better is you're a prophetess. You're misunderstood. People come against you. They talk about you. They lie about you. It gets to the point now you're getting so sick and tired of it. But a prophet is always being misunderstood. The spirit of prophecy is so strong inside of you. Beloved, all you got to do is just lift up your hand. Feel when he says, be spoken. And every naysayer will be a gainsayer. They will say, you know what? I used to come against you, but now the Lord has called me to bless you. Woo! Come on, somebody. His presence may manifest. The Bible said that when the angel wings covered the ark, that the cloud filled the temple. That it filled the temple, that no one could stand to minister. What is that signifying? He says, we have been in a place that everybody wants to be seen. What do you have? What kind of instruments do you have? What kind of praise team do you have? What kind of things do you have in your church? It wasn't about that. It was about, is his presence foremost the most important thing in this church? If it's about his presence, it's about his glory. If it's about his word, it's about his glory. If it's about him, it's about his glory. If it's about Jesus, it's about his glory. Why is it about his glory? Because it's always been his manifest presence. When he shows up, he makes change to your circumstance. He begins to deliver what you've been carrying because you came into a place of deliverance. My God. You want to know when you're getting ready to burst something? All hell starts breaking loose around you. Everything starts coming against you. Things start to lie to you. You begin to second guess who you are and your identity. You begin to second guess your ability. You begin to second guess the word. Did you really hear from God? Or was it just another thing that you heard? Or you wanted it to be like somebody else? You start to hear things that you begin to second guess. And what is it doing? It's making you doubt not only yourself, but doubt God. What he wants to do through you, he is about to get through you, but he's going to do it through adversity. He's going to do it through persecution. He's going to do it through some seasons in your life that you have no understanding how to even stand. Because everything that's coming your way has been driving you into a wilderness experience. And you wonder, how? Why? Why here? Why do I got to go here? It's because everything that he wants to do is part of your destiny. It's calling you. It's challenging you. There's a voice speaking to you. Saying, come and cross over. Get into that place of transition. Get into the place that I've ordered your steps to be. Everybody else is going to try to get you away from where you're at. But if you just stand and trust my word, you will see that not only will I bring deliverance, but I will establish my presence there. That there is you in your life. He was no longer talking about a temple that looked so beautiful, even though it could never even imagine how much was spent to build it. It says that when they begin to sacrifice, they lost count with all the blood sacrifices that were done. There was too many of them to count. My God, if truly the glory of God is moving in your heart, then it's not going to be hard for you to start sowing into the kingdom. You're not going to listen to doubt. You're going to trust God. Because every sacrifice that you make begins to establish his presence in your temple. In your temple. Things are about to change. Don't get out of position. It's going to get hard. It's going to get tough. But when you stand, it's easy to stand when people pat you on the back. Oh, it's easy to stand when I got you, I got you, I got you. But what about when no one's talking? What about when no one's walking with you? What about when no one's praying for you? Who's praying for you? The one that is still on the throne is praying for you. It don't matter if you feel like you're alone. He's got angels working on your behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. My, my, my. Have you been carrying something that when you first started carrying it, it didn't have value to it? But it wasn't until you got someplace. Like the woman that carrying an alabaster box. She brought it to a place that Jesus was going to be at. That place was Simon the leper. He was in that house. And I bet you that woman said unto herself, she said, I've heard this man preach before. But I didn't run out of there saying, oh, we had church and stayed the same. Now I'm going to go to this man that they call Jesus, because I believe something inside of me is about to be birthed, but I'm carrying something. I believe every step that she got closer and closer to the Simon the leper's house, that she, the anointing balm, the actual spikenard is what it is, it began to get more pricier. It began to gain in its value, because the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're worth in the kingdom. And the more you get closer to Jesus, the fragrance of the perfume filled the very room. But it wasn't until it was broken open that it irritated the other people around Jesus. You see, they were around Jesus, but they weren't being transformed or changed. She said unto herself, if I could just get to that place, I'm not going to go in and have another God service. I'm going to go in and have a service of transformation where things will change and I walk out loose and not the same. I'm walking into a house that someone has been labeled a leper, but when I carry this thing, I'm going to carry it right to the master's feet. I will anoint his head. I will anoint his feet. All my tears will begin to come out. And then when I wipe my tears and the oil with my hair, it don't matter, because now the glory of the Lord is upon me. And it don't matter what they do to me in that very presence. My. Persecution, my man. When it comes your way, it's about to release the oil in your life. It will irritate folks all around you. Those that knew you back then and those that only know you now. You're going to irritate them so much, it's because the fragrance filled the room. My God. The fragrance. What fragrance is it? His glory. It's his glory. It fills the room. My God. And when it begins to fill the room, this is what Jesus said. I've been sitting amongst you this whole time, but when I entered this house, you didn't offer to wash my feet, wash my hands. You didn't offer anything. You just wanted to be next to me to say you were in my presence. But she entered my presence and left changed. You can sit around in church, hear another Shonda and Nahanda, but you are going to leave the same lest you enter in his presence so that you can be transformed, renewed, and changed. Then Jesus said, this woman, oh, come on, somebody, this woman and this act, anytime the gospel is preached, she will be preached about also. That's destiny. I may have been a prostitute in my former life. I may have been a stripper on a stripper pole. I may have been a drug addict selling and pushing drugs. I may have been someone that was discounted, someone that was left out for dead. But when I got into his presence, I came out changed, transformed, and renewed, that my identity would be preached about because of transformation. My destiny is not going to be detoured by what people say. Woo! My God! Do you believe it? His glory is going to drive you to him. See, she heard where Jesus was at. I find it very interesting that Jesus knows when you're coming. That he begins to change the hearts of the one that should have kept her out to begin with. It says a lot when you go into a house where you're not supposed to be in because Jesus is there.
but you're always there other nights. Come on now. How else would they know what her lifestyle was? They may have thought she was coming to collect payment. Oh, y'all don't like my preaching. It's all right. It's okay. It's all right. Maybe the drug dealer was just gave you a bump one time, but was coming to collect on the next one. But see, God put it in the heart of those around him. Says, "No, you ain't going to stop. You're not going to detour, and you're not going to deter her from getting into my presence, because she's coming for her destiny. Her destiny is to be right here to irritate the hell out of you and get every demon that you carry with you that you don't want to get rid of. It's going to irritate you so much that that devil is going to say, 'Oh, we could have sold that.' No, because you ain't nothing but a thief anyhow. You ain't looking out for anybody but yourself. She came in and she made a change in the atmosphere. That's what your worship, your praise, and your determination can do. It don't matter what it's like. It can change. My God.